Whatever happened to integrity? And I want you to know as we start this message that I preach this not as someone who has it all together telling you what you ought to do. I preach it as someone who desperately needs to hear the words of the message. So fearful were the ancient Chinese of their enemies on the north that they built the Great Wall of China, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. It was so high they knew no one could climb over it, and so thick they knew no one could break it down. Then they settled back to enjoy their security. But during the first 100 years of the wall's existence, China was invaded 3 times. Not once did the enemy break down the wall or climb over its top. Each time they bribed the gatekeeper and marched right through the gates. According to historians, the Chinese were so busy relying upon the walls of stone that they forgot to teach integrity to their children. I'd like to read you some statistics that demonstrate how integrity is vanishing in today's society. These statistics are from a book entitled The Day America Told the Truth. It said 91% of Americans lie regularly, at home and at work. In answer to the question, who have you lied to regularly, the statistics include 86% to their parents. That's hard to believe, isn't it, parents? And 75% say to their friends. Look around. A third of AIDS carriers admit not to having told their partners. Most workers admit to goofing off an average of 7 hours a week, which is almost a whole workday a week, and half admit that they regularly call in sick when they're perfectly well. The survey also posed the question, what are you willing to do for $10 million? 25% said they would abandon their families. Now, that doesn't surprise me a bit. And here's why it doesn't. Because, I don't want to say majority, a good percentage of marriages are a mess. And people are just looking for an out. And if you had $10 million, that's a good out. So a lot of people would jump on that. That doesn't surprise me. 23% said they'd become a prostitute for a week. 7% said they would kill a stranger. Think about this, folks. Out of a gathering of 100 Americans, 7 would kill you if the price was right. In a paper presented at a symposium on employee theft, sponsored by the American Psychological Association, the authors pointed out that inventory shortages cost department stores and specialty chains $8 billion every year. Of that, 10% is attributed to clerical error, 30% to shoplifting, and a whopping 60%, or $16 million a day, to theft by employees. 60% is stolen by employees. $16 million a day. My brother got out of business because of this very reason. He said, you can't find people to work for you. You can't find them. He went on a trip one time. When he came back, he went to the bank, and the bank said, do you know your mechanic was in here trying to cash checks? He said, no, I didn't know that. While he was away, his mechanic was trying to rip him off. And dare say a mechanic that he had done so much for it, as far as trying to help the guy get on his feet and help him out. It's discouraging. Folks, the truth is American culture is in big trouble. The colossal side of integrity has grim spiritual, domestic, and political implications which threaten the survival of life as we know it. Well, how about Christians? The most chilling fact is that there is little statistical difference between the ethical practices of the religious and the non-religious. 43% of non-church attenders admit to pilfering work supplies compared to 37% of church attenders. A big 6% difference there. 17% of the unchurched use the company phone for long-distance personal calls, but 13% of those who attend worship do likewise. Is there any difference between us? Let me ask you this. What is integrity? It's a word we hear. What does it mean? Well, the dictionary says integrity is the firm adherence to a code of moral and artistic values. It's incorruptibility. Or we could say it means a quality or state of being that is completely undivided. That's what the dictionary says. As we look at the Bible, the Hebrew word means completeness. Talking about David, the psalmist writes this in Psalm 78, 72. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart. So it means no cutting corners. It means being completely honest. No flaws in character. It means when you make a promise, you keep a promise. With David as a leader, the nation was secure. Not perfection, of course. David wasn't perfect. But people with integrity are honest about their failures. Synonyms for integrity would be honesty, honor, character, and dignity. Let me give you a working definition. Integrity is doing the right thing even when no one else is looking. It's doing the right thing even when no one else is looking. Ask yourself, can I be trusted when no one else is looking? Can I be trusted not to steal from my employer when I'm alone in the store? Can I be trusted to honor my marriage vows when I'm away by myself on business? Can I hear the deep, dark secrets of a friend and be trusted not to blab it to the world behind their back? Can I be trusted to keep my eyes on my own test paper when the teacher's not looking? Can I be trusted to turn in expense reports that are not padded with make-believe expenditures? Can I be trusted to be where I've told my parents I would be? Can I be trusted to surf past the sexual immorality on the internet or cable when no one else is around? Can I be trusted when no one is looking? That's a good question, because we got to understand this, folks. God sees when no one else does. A burglar broke into a house late one night, and as he began looking around, he heard a strange voice say, "Jesus is watching you." He froze in his tracks and said, "Who said that?" No reply. "Must be my conscience," he thought to himself sarcastically. He took another step and he heard again, "Jesus is watching you." "Who said that?" he asked again. "Joshua," came the reply. The burglar turned his flashlight toward the voice and saw a parrot sitting in a cage. Greatly relieved, he laughed and said, "Who would name a parrot Joshua?" The parrot said, "The same person who named the pit bull Jesus." You know, it's tempting to tell yourself that no one will know. But Jesus is watching you. And I don't mean a pit bull. God knows everything about you. He knows what you do. He knows what you think. He knows where you go. He knows what you want to do. He knows you better than anyone else knows you. And the bad news about that is, He knows your lack of integrity. He knows the sin of your heart. Proverbs 5:21 says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of his sin. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." Psalm 69:5 says, "O God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you." People of integrity know that God always sees, even if nobody else does. Integrity is an important aspect of Christian character. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. I want to look at Philippians 1, 9, and 10 here. In this passage, Paul is praying for the Philippian believers, and he prays for their integrity. He prays for their integrity. Philippians 1, 9. "In this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." Now the word sincere here means spotless inner character. The literal meaning of sincere in the Latin and Greek give us a good understanding of this word. The Latin word sincera is where we get our word sincere. The Latin word literally means without wax. Now the Greek word hylikrinos comes from krino, which means to judge, and hyli, which means sunlight. It means to test by sunlight, to be pure, unmixed, genuine, not a hypocrite. Now you say, "Well, that doesn't make any sense." Let me give you some ancient background here. It might help. In the ancient times, the biggest industry in the world was the pottery industry. And pottery varied in quality, just like cars vary today, or office supplies, or household goods. The cheapest pottery was thick. It was solid and didn't require much skill at all to make. It's found everywhere in the archaeological digs. The finest pottery, though, was really thin. It had a clear color, and it brought a high price. Now, fine pottery was very fragile, both before and after it had been fired. And it was often the case that this pottery would crack in the oven, and cracked pottery should have been thrown away. But dishonest dealers were in the habit of filling in the cracks with a hard, pearly wax that would blend right in with the color of the pottery. And that made the cracks practically undetectable in the shops, especially when painted or glazed. But the wax was immediately detectable if the pottery was held up to the light, especially to the sun. In that case, the cracks would show up darker. It was said that the artificial element was detected by sun testing. And honest dealers would mark their finer product by the caption, Senna Sera, without wax. Paul is saying that the flaws in the lives of a believer must not be covered up with wax. He says our lives are not perfect. There's always going to be flaws, but we must not disguise them artificially. We must be sincere and not hypocrites. He is praying for their integrity, for their purity. The sunlight of the Word of God is to expose their character. The Bible has a lot to say about integrity. It is a spiritual issue. 1 Chronicles 29:17 says, I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. You test the heart and you're pleased with integrity. Proverbs 10:9 says, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Proverbs 13:6 says, righteousness guards the man of integrity, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. In these passages, God contrasts integrity to being crooked, unfaithful, wicked, having a life of duplicity. So let's look at ourselves this morning and ask this question. Am I living a life of integrity? Now, in order to answer that question, we need to look at our definition. I said integrity is doing the right thing even when no one else is looking. Now, how do we know what the right thing is? You got to have the right thing, right? Where are we going to learn it? From the Scriptures. All right? That's where we're going to learn what the right thing is. All right? What kind of source do you get your values from? You know, you're getting your values from someplace. A lot of people just, they got values. They inherited them from their parents or from the people around them, and they just have certain things they hang to, and you say, why are you holding that? They can't tell you. They don't know. It's just always been something there. It's an important question to know where you're getting your values, because where I get my values determines how valuable they are. I mean, would you consider the National Enquirer a good place to get your values? Why not? I mean, they do serious research, don't they? How about TV talk shows? Is that a good place to get your values? Yet, you know, if you're an average American, you will spend 1,000 hours a year watching television. Which means that by the time you're 65 years old, you'll have spent 15 years, 12 hours a day, 365 days a year watching the tube. 15 years of your life doing nothing but watching television. In contrast to this, if you go to church every Sunday of your life for 65 years, you'll have spent a total of 8 months receiving spiritual teaching. 8 months compared to 15 years. And we wonder, where do people get their values? You know, the world has been turning for, I don't know, 20 years now, and they're still not out of the bedroom. You know, and parents, pay attention to what your kids are watching. You watch any of these teen shows? It's just nothing but sex. That's what they're pushing from every angle. As a nation, we're largely being molded as to what morality is, what decency is, what integrity is, by what we see on the TV set. And there is none on the TV set. You know, the shows that model that, they're canceled. So we're going to get your values. Well, you have two choices. You either get them from the Word of God, or you get them from the world in which you live in. And they're contradictory. Those are the choices we have. Now, if we're going to have integrity, we need to spend time in the Word of God. But let me warn you of something. If you learn what is right and don't do it, it'll cause you great pain. All right, the Word of God gives us our standards, gives us our values. But if you learn what they are and then don't do them, it's going to cause you a lot of heartache. George Gallup in a poll says this: the number one cause of stress in our lives today is not a lack of money, and it's not the breaking down of relationships. It is the incongruities in life. It is saying one thing and doing something else. It's constant conflict inside. Now, if Gallup is right, if that's the biggest problem, then you're better off not to even read the Bible if you're not going to live it. Because that causes that tremendous tension of, you know what's right and you're not doing it, and that brings a stress in your life. You know, someone will say, well, my family is really important to me. You know, almost everybody's going to say, who's not going to say that? You know? Yet statistics reveal that the average father in the United States spends 5 minutes a day with his kids. So what's he doing? He's saying one thing, my family's important, and he's doing something else. It's duplicity. It's hypocrisy. You might say, my health is really important to me. Really? Do you exercise? No. Do you eat right? No. Do you get lots of rest? No. Take days off? No. But my health is really important to me. You see any problem there? Someone might ask you, are you materialistic? Oh, no. Everyone else is, but I'm not. I'm not a materialistic person at all. Really? Let me ask you these questions. Is your debt load getting deeper and deeper? Are you buying things you can't afford? Do you have credit card charges that you can't pay? Are you saving money? You say, no, I spend it all. But I'm not materialistic. You see, we're not consistent. We don't do what we say is really important to us. You know, I could ask people, is God important to you? 95% of people in the United States says God is important to them. Is that a joke? Well, listen, if God is important to you, do you schedule time to spend with Him? Well, no, I'm really busy. You know, I got a lot of stuff to do. I can't. You know, if God is important to you, do you give your income to support the Lord's work? You know, the Bible says where your treasure is, that will your heart be also. It's easy to tell where your heart is because that's where your money goes. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says this: on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. The Bible teaches that we are to give proportionately to what we have. It doesn't say we're to give 10%. It says we're to give proportionately to what we have. We are to give according to how we have been prospered. Our responsibility as far as giving is according to our ability. You give to the Lord's work, you say, well, no, I really need that for myself. But God is important to you, right? You spend time in the Word of God? You spend time praying? Talking to God, developing a relationship with Him? No, I'm just too busy to do any of that. You know, you say your family is important and God is the head of it. What are you doing to make it better? Let me share with you a couple things that I think are true of a person with integrity. The person with integrity doesn't compromise their standards. They don't compromise their standards. Joseph was a man of deep integrity and refused to compromise even when it would be easy to do so. What motivated his integrity? It was motivated by a deep love for God. Genesis 39, 8 and 9, when Joseph was sold into slavery, he became a slave of Potiphar. Potiphar put him in trust of the whole household. Potiphar's wife had her eyes on Joseph and kept coming to him, trying to seduce him. Verse 8 says, but he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no greater in the house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness, he says, and sin against God? He couldn't consider it, because to break down his standards would be a violation of God, to go against God. The answer to him was absolutely positively no, because he saw it as a sin against God. Folks, how easy is it for us to justify and give up on our standards, to compromise, to say okay to something we know is wrong? What are our limits? What does it take? Cleveland Stroud had coached the Blue Collar Bulldogs for 18 years before his basketball team made it into the championships. Stroud recalls that it was a perfect night when they won. He says, a night you dream of. He was carried around the gym on the shoulders of triumphant players and their proud parents. He says, but the excitement was short-lived. He said, 2 months after the championship, during a routine grade check, I discovered that one player was academically ineligible. He said, the player in question had only played 45 seconds in the regional qualifying tournament. I thought it was all ruined. He says, I went through a phase where I was really depressed. He struggled with what to do next, yet his commitment to integrity led him to the right decision. Winning is the most important thing for any coach, he said, but your principles have to be higher than your goals. Please understand that. Your principles have to be higher than your goals. He reported the error to the league and the Bulldogs forfeited their trophy. When the team lamented their loss in the locker room, he told them, you've got to do what is honest, what is right, and what the rules say. Then he says this, people forget the scores of basketball games, but they don't ever forget what you're made of. Just like Joseph and just like Cleveland, we have been given responsibilities. And we come under trials and temptations. It might not be a ministry that we're running. It might not be a ball team. It might be a family. It might be a household. Are we carrying out our responsibilities with integrity? Throughout his administration, Abraham Lincoln was a president under fire, especially during the scarring years of the Civil War. And though he knew he would make errors in office, he resolved never to compromise his integrity. So strong was this resolve that he once said, I desire so to conduct the affairs of this administration that if at the end, when I come to lay down the reins of power, I have lost every other friend on earth, I shall at least have one friend left, and that friend shall be down inside of me. In other words, he says, I want to be able to live with myself. If I lose everybody else, I want to be able to sleep at night because I have integrity. I've done what is right. So a person of integrity, they don't compromise their standards. Secondly, the person of integrity is not negligent in their duties. They are not negligent in their duties. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 6, if you can find it. The sword drill. Daniel 6. It's in the Old Testament. I'll give you a clue. Daniel 6, chapter 1, it says, and please Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, and the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would not suffer loss. Verse 3 says, then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. Now he's in a foreign country, he's been taken hostage in this foreign country, and he's excelling. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Now watch what it says. But they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. These men searched and searched, and the Bible says they found no corruption in Daniel. Let's say that we found about 100 people that didn't like you very much, and they're going to investigate your life. They're looking for some area that you have been corrupt in, either intentionally or negligently. What would they find? I don't know. Oftentimes we judge ourselves based on things we do, not on things we haven't done. And James 4:17 says, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, he sins. And I believe as Christians, this area is difficult. We fail in this area more than most. Because hopefully, acts of commission, the intentional sins, are diminishing as we grow in Christ. But this is harder. We become negligent. There's so many things we know we should do, we just don't do it. How are we negligent? Maybe in raising our families to be God-fearing families? Are we neglecting our children? You know, it's not the church's responsibility to teach your kids. It's yours. It's yours. Marriage. How much time do you spend in making your wives feel special? Men. How often do you ask them how they think they're doing spiritually? Do you know what your spouse is studying in their Bibles? How about God? Have you neglected him? He's been calling some of you for years and you've neglected to answer. A lack of integrity not only harms you, but it often harms the innocent people around you. It was a chilly Tuesday morning, the 28th of January, 1986, when Krista climbed aboard the Challenger space shuttle for her heroic mission as the first citizen in space. Remember it? She was a teacher. I only pray that we've learned something about the consequences of getting an F in integrity. So you see, though the weather was cold, a group of engineers were fighting back the hot sweat of worried anticipation. Would the booster seals hold in this kind of weather? Was it safe to launch? Knowledgeable engineers and designers said no. Influential executives said yes. A group of top managers failed to listen carefully to the warnings of those down the line who were concerned about the operational reliability of certain parts of the booster rocket under conditions of abnormal stress. The people in charge were confident that they knew best and that they should not change the launch schedule. They were wrong. And their lack of integrity cost many people their lives. Negligence, folks, harms integrity. What areas of your life have you been neglecting? You know, the things you just know you should be doing, you're just not doing. Decide right here and now that you're going to stop neglecting and start doing what God has called you to do. And if it's God you've been neglecting, what are you waiting for? He's there. Thirdly, the person of integrity doesn't lie. They don't lie. What was the statistic? 91% of Americans lie. 91%. But the person of integrity doesn't. I heard Rush Limbaugh explain why he felt the Democrats would win the election. He said, people in this country like to be lied to. They don't want to hear the truth because the truth hurts. Man, I agree with that statement. I think that's true. I think that's true in Christianity. People don't want to hear the truth. They want what's comfortable. They want what's easy. The words, I tell you the truth, appear 76 times in the gospel. Jesus was a man of truth, and so are we to be. Colossians 3:9 says, do not lie one to another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Don't lie. What are some of the ways that our honesty is challenged? You know, most of us at one time or another in our life stood up and they said, I will love you unconditionally until death do us part. I don't know, maybe you want to go back and check your vows. Most vows say for better or worse. What we mean is better or better, because I don't want the worst. If it's worse, we complain about it. And I say, and I remind, didn't you say better or worse? You got worse. Suck it up and live with it. You're the one who made the covenant. Really, I'm serious, folks. That, it goes to integrity. You know, people of integrity, they make a vow, they make a commitment, they stick to it. It doesn't matter what it costs them, what it hurts them, they stick to it because their word is important. And one of the problems is we need to do more counseling before people get married to tell them the seriousness of the covenant. Folks, it's the hardest thing. When I counsel couples, I try to talk them out of marriage. How many of you have I tried to talk out of it? Yeah. Because it is a difficult venture. You're taking two sinners, you're putting them under one roof. You know, do any of you have a hard time living with yourself? I do. I make myself miserable sometimes. You know what? I do. I hate me. I do. I wish I could get away from me at times. You know, my wife says, you make me angry. So how do you think you make? I make me feel. At least you can leave the room. I'm stuck with me. Well, you take two people like that and you put them under the same roof and say, here you go, cohabitate. Oh, my word, fireworks. You know, and unless you're going to let God be the center of that home and start living sacrificially, it is a difficult venture. But when you stand up and you make a commitment, we need to change the vows. You know, I will love you as long as you fit the standards I want you to fit, as long as you do everything I want you to do, and if you quit, I'm out of here. Those should be some vows some people should make. Because that's where we come from most of the time. What about at work? You slide on the truth there? How about when it's tax time? Are you completely truthful there? How about shifting the blame when you know you're guilty? Ruben Gonzalez was in the final match of a pro racquetball tournament in the fourth and final game. At match point, Gonzalez made a super kill shot to the front wall and won the game. The referee called it good. The two linesmen affirmed that the shot was in. But Gonzalez, after a moment of hesitation, turned around, shook his opponent's hand, and declared that the shot had hit the floor first. As a result, he lost the match and walked off the court. Everybody was stunned. They couldn't believe that a player with every official in his favor and victory at hand disqualified himself at match point and lost. When asked why he did it, Ruben said, It was the only thing I could do and maintain my integrity. He said, I can always win another match. I can never regain my lost integrity. You know, being a Christian, folks, is more than just having faith. It's being a man or woman of character with integrity as your flagship. You know, if we want to have a mark on the world in which we live, they got to see there's a difference between us and the world we live in. And I'll tell you something that'll set you apart quicker than anything else, and that's integrity. If George Gallup's poll is right, the number one cause of stress in our lives is the incongruities in life. It's saying one thing and doing something else. It's constant conflict inside. Then the way to relieve the stress is to become people of integrity. If you feel that you're lacking in the area of integrity, but are interested in growing in it, let me give you three areas to consider. Three areas that will help you in this really quickly with integrity. Well, it won't help you do it real quickly, but I can say it real quickly. All right. Number one, look at your schedule. Is your schedule consistent with what you say is important? Do you have the most time allotted for things that you think are really important to you? You know, we've been talking to people about growing kids. You know, you will not believe the excuses you hear. And I'm just in my mind thinking, what's important? That's the bottom line. What's important? Tell me your family's important. Then you make time for what's important. Do you have the most time allotted for things that are really... Are you spending time on things that you say aren't important? You know, we look at our schedule and say, well, none of that stuff's important. Then why do we do it? You're going to have to reevaluate your schedule. Number two, look at your budget. Are you spending the most money on things that you think are really important to you? Or are you spending the most money on things that you think are not important? Things that last for a brief period of time. Are you investing your money... things that last for eternity. Third, look at your relationships. Are you spending time with people who are the most important to you? Or are you spending time with your family, your wife, your children, your grandchildren? Are you spending all your time being involved with things that really aren't important? Yeah, I have yet to see a tombstone that was put up by an employer that said, yeah, I mean, he was just a great worker. He put in a lot of extra hours, and we just really appreciate him. But I've seen a lot of tombstones that family members have signed. He was a great dad. He was there. She was a great mom. She was faithful. What's important? And folks, let me tell you, there are a lot of temporal blessings to a person of integrity. People want to be around a person of integrity. And I like church, but... Dan Lupton writes about an unemployed Chicago resident named David Yee who found and returned $12,000. An unemployed guy, he found $12,000 and he returned it. When his story became public, he received numerous lucrative job offers. You understand that? Yeah, because people are longing for someone they can trust. This guy turns in $12,000, that's the kind of guy I want working for me because he's not going to be stealing from me if he has that money and turns it back in. They want someone with integrity. Folks, integrity brings peace. There's nothing like laying your head on the pillow at night without nagging pains of guilt. President Harry Truman used to say, fame is a vapor, popularity an accident. Riches take wings. Those who cheer today may curse you tomorrow. Only one thing endures, character. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon wrote, a good character is the best tombstone. Those who loved you and were helped by you will remember you when the forget-me-nots are withered. Carve your name on the hearts, not on marble. Ecclesiastes 7:1 puts it this way, a good name is better than precious ointment. At a national spelling contest in Washington, an unusual incident occurred. In the fourth round of the contest, Rosalie Elliott, then an 11-year-old from South Carolina, was asked to spell a vowel. In her soft southern accent, she spelled it. But did the seventh grader use an A or an E as the next to last letter? The judges couldn't decide. For several minutes, they listened to the tape recording playbacks. Over and over, they listened to it. But the critical letter was accent blurred. The chief judge, John Lloyd, finally put the question to the only person who knew the answer. Was the letter an A or was it an E, he asked Rosalie. Surrounded by whispering young spellers, she knew by now the correct spelling of the word. Without hesitation, she replied she had misspelled it. She walked from the stage. The entire audience stood and applauded, including 50 newspaper reporters. What were they applauding? They were applauding integrity. Man, it was so much more important that this 11-year-old had integrity than she knew how to spell. And they applauded it because people like that when they see it in somebody else, because it's a rare thing. Now, you might be thinking, I'd like to be a person of integrity. I just can't do it. You're right. You can't do it. You're not strong enough. That's why you need the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do it by yourself. And that's exactly why Paul wrote in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You can't do it alone. Jesus said in John 15:5, without me you can do nothing. We can't. We can't do it in our own strength. But listen, what Paul meant when he said, I can do all things through Christ, is that because he is in communion with Christ, because he is in an abiding relationship with Christ, the power is available for his every need. He can't do all things simply because he's a Christian. He can do all things because he's in a dependent relationship with Christ. He's abiding in Christ. We're to live in dependence upon Christ, and as we do that, the power is available to live a life of integrity. And a life of integrity will put a mark on a world, folks, that you live in. I don't know about you, but I ask myself probably every single day, what am I doing in this world that will make a difference in this world? To live and die, it doesn't make, if I'm living to work, then I might as well go die right now. I want to make a difference. And the way to make a difference on the world in which you live is to be a person of integrity. When you stand out, you have a voice to communicate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you talk about being Christian, you talk about being a follower of Christ, and then you live like the world, they automatically say there's nothing to Christianity. Integrity, folks, makes a difference. It'll make a difference in eternity. It makes a difference now. There's tremendous blessings to be a person of integrity. I pray God we'd examine our own hearts and lives. Is there a duplicity in your life where you're saying one thing's important and not doing anything about it? Start doing what's going to matter. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for the way it cuts as a two-edged sword deep into the heart of man. God, I pray we deal with the conviction we've come under. Father, help us not to just blow it off and walk out of here. Help us to realize we need to make changes, dear God. We need to become people of integrity. We need to be people who do what they say and say what they do. Our word needs to count, Lord. Oh, Father, strengthen us through your Spirit. Help us to live in a dependent relationship upon you, that the power would be available to live in integrity. Forgive us, Lord, for our duplicity. Forgive us for our hypocrisy. Help us to honor you by lives of integrity. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your grace in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.